because it was a lot of dishes. After dinner, everyone was happy to go their separate ways. But Mom wanted us to watch TV in the living room as a family. And even though it was a nice idea, getting 12 people and a dog to agree on what television show to watch is next to impossible. Aunt Veronica wanted to watch a show called The Great Cake Fakeout, which is a reality TV competition where these pastry chefs make cakes that look like regular objects, and then contestants have to guess which things are real and which are desserts. But I'd be a terrible contestant on that show, because every time I think something's real, I'm wrong. This old leather boot is actually a 5-layer cake! Mom vetoed watching that show, because it caused a lot of trouble in our house. When Manny saw it, he started thinking everything was cake, which isn't okay when you're in a public restroom. Dad was pretty shocked to see Manny trying to eat a toilet bowl. Chomp. To make matters worse, now Manny's suspicious of regular food, because he thinks it could be something else in disguise. So dinner takes twice as long, because Manny won't put anything in his mouth until Mom proves it's really food. Mmm, choo-choo. I can actually see how a person could start to get confused over what's real and what's not, because Roderick's been messing with me for years. When I was little, Mom and Dad would sometimes put Roderick in charge of my bedtime stories. One time, he told me that horses were imaginary creatures, like dragons or mermaids. I was pretty sure I'd actually seen horses in real life, but Roderick convinced me I'd just imagined it. So when I went on a field trip to a farm with my third-grade class, I was shook up when I came face-to-face with a real, live horse. Scream! I probably should have learned my lesson about trusting Roderick by now, but every once in a while, he gets me with something new. And when we went to the beach last summer, he sold me a can of shark repellent that was actually Mom's hairspray. Whoosh! Since Mom vetoed the cake show, people started suggesting other things to watch. Aunt Gretchen wanted to watch this series about a celebrity family who's always going from one crazy situation to the next. But Mom said those shows are as fake as the one with the cakes, and nothing that happens on them is actually real. I don't know if she's right about that or not, but I'll bet those people who star in them are getting paid. And I wouldn't mind faking things a little if we got good ratings. I could pretend I was upset about my family's bathroom habits. Somebody used all my body wash. And Mom could tell me it was my fault. Well, if you wrote your name on the bottle, this wouldn't keep happening. If my family ever does get its own reality show, I've already got a name picked out for it. House of Heffley, coming this fall. The reason it's never going to happen is that my family's too boring to have a show. And even though Roderick got his lip stuck in the zipper of his coat once, and we had to get a doctor to get it off, it's not like you could base a whole episode on something like that. What my family could use is a good scandal. The thing that makes those reality shows interesting is that there's always some big secret, and it causes all sorts of drama. But if there's a juicy scandal in my family, everyone's done a good job keeping it under wraps. Mom wanted to watch her favorite show, which is about the royals, and from what I've heard, that family knows a thing or two about drama. The reason they're always dealing with problems is because the people who work for them leak their private business to reporters, and it must be hard to keep a secret when you've got inside information that someone's willing to pay for. Hey, Mr. Reporter, you didn't hear this from me, but the king doesn't wash his hands after using the bathroom. But if I was actually a member of the royal family, it would be really tempting to cash in and spill the beans. My book would be The Other Brother, Life in the Crown Prince's Shadow, by Prince Gregory. When you're in a monarchy like those guys, there's a ton of pressure to get married and have kids to keep your bloodline going so you can stay in power. But instead of going to all that trouble, it seems like it would be easier to just clone yourself instead. I don't know if that kind of thing is even legal, but having another version of yourself would make dinner conversation a lot more satisfying. I'd say to my clone, "Unbelievable! When I say no lettuce, I mean no lettuce." And my clone would agree, "I know, right?" It turns out that's not the way cloning works, though. I thought that when you clone something, it was like making a copy. But my science teacher said that when you clone a person or an animal, it starts off as a baby. And it would be a little weird changing your own diaper. The one thing I can say about a monarchy is that those guys have clear rules about who's next in line to the throne. But in my family, it hasn't been settled who's going to take charge after Grandma's gone. It feels to me like Mom should take over the family next, but her sisters probably aren't going to let her without a fight. All I know for sure is that it's going to be a long time before my generation is in charge, and if I ever get to be the head of the family, by then it probably won't be that much fun. I'll be so old, I'll barely be able to feed myself.
You got mustard all over your bib again, Pappy.
Eh?
Last night when we went to bed, it was still super hot in the house from the cooking, so I had a lot of trouble falling asleep. And when I turned on the ceiling fan to cool things down a little, I discovered that Vincent had hung his wet clothes on the blades to dry. His clothes went flying off the fan in every direction. His swimsuit even thwapped Roderick in the face. After I hung his clothes back up, I laid back down and finally fell asleep. But I wasn't out for long before a knock at the front door woke me up. I was nervous to answer it, because I couldn't imagine who would be knocking at that hour. So when I saw a pirate standing on the front porch, I wasn't prepared. Gah!
Arr!
It turns out the guy was actually Uncle Gary, my dad's younger brother, who was in a pirate costume.
"You guys got any food?"
he asked. I led Uncle Gary in the house, and he explained what he was doing here. This summer, he had been working at a baseball stadium, and his job was to go under the bleachers and find the stuff people dropped during the game. But I guess he got hit on the head by one too many cell phones, and he decided it was time to look for a new line of work. Uncle Gary said he wanted a job where he could be outside in the fresh air, and he started looking for opportunities at vacation spots. Then, he found out there was an opening at a pirate-themed amusement park on Ruddy Neck Island, which he visited with his family as a teenager. Job opportunity. Skullduggery Cove is seeking an actor to perform as legendary pirate Wild William. 3 performances on weekdays, 5 on weekends. Before our trip, Mom told me how she and her sisters used to go to Skullduggery Cove when they were kids, and how scary it was to get chased by Wild William. He'd yell things like,
"I'm gonna skin you all alive!"
And one time, Aunt Gretchen got so scared, she wet her pants. According to Uncle Gary, the guy who had been playing Wild William had been in that role for 30 years, and he was finally retiring. But it sounds like it ended badly for that guy, and it wasn't really his choice to call it quits. Uncle Gary said that a few weeks ago, Wild William was chasing some kids in his rowboat, just like he'd been doing every summer for 30 years. But the kids he was chasing turned the tables on him and flipped his boat. Wah! As if that wasn't bad enough, the manager at Skullduggery Cove told Wild William he couldn't tell kids he'd skin them alive anymore because too many parents were complaining. He was disappointed.
Arr.
So the actor decided he'd had enough, and now he works at the Fry Shack on the boardwalk, where he has to wear a net over his beard so hair doesn't get in people's food. Uncle Gary couldn't grow a decent beard, and he didn't want to show up for the job interview with a fake one, so he went to a hair salon and convinced them to sell him hair clippings. Then he glued the clippings to his face and headed to Ruddy Neck Island to apply for the job in a pirate costume. But he probably should have called ahead before just showing up, because when he got to Skullduggery Cove, the manager gave him some bad news. He said that pirates aren't as popular with kids anymore, so the theme park decided to move in a different direction. The manager told him Skullduggery Cove was being rebranded as a butterfly sanctuary, and he should probably look for work somewhere else. He was disappointed, too.
Arr!
Uncle Gary said he didn't have enough cash to take the ferry back home, and he reached out to Dad to see if he could send him some money. But when Dad didn't answer his texts, Uncle Gary looked up Dad's location on his phone and discovered he was right here on the island. Uncle Gary said he needed to crash with us for the night, and even though I explained that there were no more beds, I guess pirates are used to sleeping in weird places, because Uncle Gary fell asleep right on top of the TV stand. This morning, I could tell Dad wasn't thrilled to see Uncle Gary at the kitchen table, and after Uncle Gary filled him in on everything he told me, Dad offered him money for a ferry ticket home. But Uncle Gary said he wasn't in a big hurry to leave, and that he felt like he could use a vacation himself. Mom seemed happy to have an extra person around to help carry our stuff down to the beach, but after what happened yesterday with the cooler, the beach was the last place I wanted to be. I suggested we take a break from the beach and do something else instead. Other people must have been thinking the same thing, because everyone started jumping in with different suggestions for what we could do today. And Uncle Gary chimed in with a few thoughts of his own, even though he just got here. Roderick wanted to go to a record store, and Dad was hoping to go deep sea fishing. Vincent wanted to take everyone to a cheese tasting, and the twins wanted to go to a rage room where you pay to destroy stuff, like old cars. Uncle Gary was pushing to go parasailing, and Aunt Audra wanted to go to a sound healing place, which seemed like the kind of thing a person like her does for fun. But the idea I liked best was to have a spa day, which was Aunt Veronica's suggestion. I've let my toenails get a little long, and I thought it might be nice to have someone take care of that. Ah. I think everyone would have been happy to split up and do our own thing, but Mom didn't like that idea. She said Grandma wanted us to do stuff together, so we needed to come up with something we could all do. The only problem is, there aren't a whole lot of activities that work for a group with this age range, so we narrowed it down to mini-golf or a lighthouse tour. And I wasn't excited about either one. First of all, if you've ever been mini-golfing with Manny, you'd know that it takes him forever to get through a round. Everyone behind us gets annoyed at having to wait for him to line up his shots, which is really stressful. And the last time we went mini-golfing, Manny won a free round by sinking a hole-in-one on the last hole, which meant we had to do it all over again. But a lighthouse tour, which was Mom's idea, sounded even worse. Whenever we go on vacation, Mom always tries to squeeze in an educational activity at a museum or historical site. And I don't know how Mom finds these places, like candle-making museums, but she always does. Mom says kids have brain drain over summer vacation, which is why she's always looking for the opportunity to have us learn something. But I purposefully put my brain in low power mode over the summer. My theory is that if I learn too much during summer break, then I'll be ahead of my peers when we get back to school in the fall. Then I might be so smart I'll have to skip a grade, which seems like a bad idea to me, because I don't want to be the last one in my high school to get my driver's license. Needing Dad to drive me during my first date? Is everyone buckled up back there? Sounds like a nightmare. I don't know what it is about guided tours and museums and stuff like that, but they suck the energy right out of my body. In fact, last year, when my class went on a field trip to a paper mill, I had to take a 3-hour nap after I got home to recover. If I were a superhero, a museum would be like my kryptonite, and if a supervillain wanted to finish me off, all they'd have to do is take me to the still life wing of an art gallery. He'd just have to start an evil monologue like this.
If you look closely at the brushstrokes, you can see the way the artist was experimenting with the interaction between light and color.
And I'd be gasping for breath.
No! Gasp!
To make it fair, Mom had everyone write down which activity they wanted to do, then put the slips of paper in a bowl. And even though I didn't really want to go mini-golfing, that's what I wrote down. The only one who couldn't vote was Vincent, since he's not an official member of the family. And even though that might seem a little harsh, rules are rules. But I understand why he might have been upset that Dazzle got a vote. The vote was split down the middle, with half the group voting for mini-golf and the other half voting for the lighthouse tour. But Roderick hadn't voted yet, because he'd been in the bathroom. Mom explained the two options to Roderick and told him he was the deciding vote. But instead of just making a decision, he totally milked the situation. Roderick understood how much power he had, so he made people work to earn his vote. Each side tried to convince him to vote for their activity, but in the end, it all came down to what people were willing to pay. The mini-golf people offered Roderick half a bag of potato chips and a used frisbee for his vote, but the lighthouse group offered an unopened box of assorted saltwater taffy and an extra bathroom shift. So he took the deal. And if you ask me, it's not right that the other side won because they had deeper pockets. We wasted too much time debating what we should do, though, because by the time we got to the lighthouse, there was a huge line. I was sure the tour was going to sell out, and we were going to end up going mini-golfing after all. But then, Mom bought tickets on her phone, which was like cutting the line. It turns out, she snagged the last tickets for the 10 a.m. tour, which made everyone who had been waiting in line ahead of us mad. Ding! Yes! Roderick saw an opportunity, and he sold his spot on the tour to some random guy at the end of the line. I tried to sell my ticket, but Mom stopped me before I could find a buyer. And even though I wasn't able to get out of the lighthouse tour, Roderick gave me an idea I can use in future family get-togethers. The next time we have a family gathering, I'm going to pay someone to take my place, because there are a lot of events I'd skip if I could, like random relatives' birthday parties and cousins' kindergarten graduations. I guess I might have to pay extra for certain types of events, like funerals, so I'll have to save up my money to get someone to sub for me on those ones. I hope the person who takes my place can at least be convincing when he says, "I'm sorry for your loss." Our tour guide told us all about the history of the lighthouse and what it's like to be a lighthouse keeper, whose responsibility is to stop ships from crashing into the rocks at night. And even though it sounds like a pretty easy job, I'm sure I'd find a way to screw it up. I'd probably get distracted playing video games and cause a ship to crash. I figured the whole tour might take half an hour, and then we could get on with our day. But the guy Roderick sold his ticket to had a million questions, like, how deep did they dig the Canterwhite well when the lighthouse was first constructed? Which our tour guide was happy to answer. I'm so glad you asked. I'm sure Mom paid a lot of money for our tickets, but the people whose tickets we snatched from under them were listening in on our tour, even though they were pretending not to be. I guess Mom was annoyed that this family was trying to get a free ride, so she made sure they couldn't hear what our guide was saying. And eventually, when she started yelling, "Hey, hey, hey, woo, woo, woo," and clapping, they got the hint and left. By that point, I was eager to step inside to get out of the sun, but it was actually just as hot inside as it was outside. I thought there would be an elevator on the ground floor that would take us straight to the top, but we had to take the stairs, and we got jammed up because the 9:30 group had wrapped up their tour and were trying to make their way back down to the bottom. And with the heat and sweat and everyone's bodies pressed together, it was all a little too much for me. By the time we finally made it to the top, I was desperate for some fresh air. After we spent a few minutes up there, the tour guide said it was time to head back down. But I wasn't planning on going anywhere, and nobody could make me either. I held on so tight to the rail that Dad couldn't pull me off. Apparently, I wasn't the first person to freak out in the middle of the lighthouse tour, and I guess the guides are used to dealing with this sort of thing. Before I knew it, the guide had carried me to the bottom on her shoulders, and everyone clapped as we came through the exit. After that experience, I'd be happy to never see another lighthouse as long as I live. But Mom spent a lot of time in the gift shop, so I have a feeling I know what everyone's getting for Christmas this year. A model lighthouse. Tuesday. Tonight, I really wished we could have gone out to eat, but we ate leftovers instead. Or at least most of us did. Apparently, Dazzle is too good for leftovers, and she refused to eat the reheated spaghetti. So Vincent cooked a steak for Dazzle on the outdoor grill behind the house, then passed it through the bathroom window. And unfortunately, dinner was right in the middle of my shift. I can understand where the dog's coming from on leftovers, because I'm not really a fan myself. Lately, Mom's been cooking all our meals for the week on Sunday night, and by Wednesday or Thursday, we're having things for the second or third time around. Then, if there's any food left on Friday night, Mom mixes it together and serves it up like it's something new. And right before our trip, Mom took the leftover lasagna, meatloaf, squash, and taco salad from the week and put it all in the blender. "I call this a barnyard smoothie," she said as she poured us each a plateful. Glop. Some people say leftovers taste better than the original meal, but I'm just not one of them. I don't think Dad's too crazy about leftovers either, even though he'd never actually say it. But I've noticed that Dad always seems to be late coming home from work on Friday nights, and I have a feeling that's no accident. Last Friday, he said, "Traffic was a nightmare." But he had a bucket of fried chicken with him, so we weren't buying it. After we were done cleaning up tonight, Mom wanted to play board games, just like her family used to do when they'd stay at the beach. Everybody was still a little annoyed with Mom for coming up with a lighthouse tour, and nobody was really in the mood for any forced family fun. So most of us went into the living room to watch some mindless TV. But Mom was already one step ahead of everybody else, because she had the remote and turned the TV off. We sat back down at the kitchen table, and Mom took some old board games out of a cabinet. We started off playing a game where one person has to draw something on a piece of paper and everyone else has to guess what it is. But the game ended in the first round after Malvin drew something rude. Next, we played a game where one person is given a secret word and they have to get their team members to guess it before the time is up. The trick is that there are a bunch of other words on the card that the player is not allowed to say, and if they do, someone on the other team has to buzz them. For example, the card might say, "Oomph, secret word, refrigerator, cold, food, door, kitchen, appliance, fresh, ice, storage, chili." And I'd say something like, "It's a metal box where you put stuff you eat to keep it, chili?"
Buzz.
Rats. Things fell apart when people started using the buzzer for stuff that didn't have anything to do with the game. And when Aunt Cakey brought up the boyfriend Mom stole from her when they were teenagers, Mom used the buzzer to cut her off. "You'd think she just let me have him, but no. Buzz, buzz, buzz." I was glad Mom interrupted Aunt Cakey, because the truth is that no kid really wants to hear about the people their parents used to date. Mom pulled out another board game to keep things moving, and it was one I'd never seen before. The box was falling apart, and she was ready to put it away and reach for another game. But Dad was excited, because it was a game he said he used to play with his family. It was called Boardwalk Baron, and Dad explained that the goal was to buy up properties and bankrupt all the other players. Everybody seemed eager to give it a try, except for Mom, who said a game like that taught people how to be greedy. So Mom pulled out a different game, where one player reads cards with interesting facts about marine animals. Luckily, we still had the buzzer from that other game, and Roderick wasn't shy about using it.
Did you know that a blue whale's tongue weighs as much as an elephant? Buzz!
Everyone thought we should give Boardwalk Baron a try instead. But I guess Mom was pretty annoyed that she got overruled, so she said she was just gonna read in her room and then go to bed. The rest of us opened up the box and got out all the pieces, and we ran into a problem right away. There weren't enough game tokens, and everyone started grabbing ones for themselves. Uncle Gary managed to snag the cowboy hat, but I guess Manny really had his heart set on that one, so Manny swiped it and climbed on top of the kitchen cabinet until Uncle Gary finally agreed to just let him have it. Malcolm and Malvin both wanted to be the wagon, so they decided to play as one team. I wasn't quick enough to get an official playing token, so I had to use a dirty coin from Aunt Gretchen's purse. But anything was better than Uncle Gary's playing piece, which was a quarter of a meatball that someone found under the kitchen table. Once everybody had their playing pieces sorted out, it was time to learn the rules. But you practically had to have a college degree to understand the ins and outs of the game.
If a player rolls a 9, but the product of the two dice is less than the number of hotels they have on their most expensive property, then the player must move back the number of spaces matching the sum of the two dice.
So I figured I'd pick it up once we actually started to play. Everyone understood the basic idea, which was that the person who had all the properties at the end of the game was the winner, and they got named the Boardwalk Baron. But everybody agreed there should be some sort of penalty for losing. So we started coming up with different ideas for punishments for the first person to go bankrupt. Roderick thought the loser should have to shave their eyebrows, but most of us thought that was too extreme. Uncle Gary said the loser should have to eat a gallon of mayonnaise, but that seemed kind of unsafe. Then Aunt Cakey came up with an idea. She said that the loser should have to go out on the boardwalk the next day and sing until people passing by put 20 bucks in their hat. Everybody thought that was a great punishment for being the first one to get knocked out of the game, because no one wanted to have to sing in public. The only problem was that it made the game way too competitive, because once we started playing, everybody argued over every little thing. On Aunt Gretchen's first roll of the game, one die landed on the table and one landed on the floor, and that turned into a heated debate about whether or not her roll counted. We finally agreed that both dice had to be on the table for a roll to count. Then, on the very next turn, one of Roderick's dice landed on the edge of the table, and we waited 20 minutes to make sure it didn't fall on the floor. If you rolled double sixes, you landed in jail and had to sit out for 2 whole turns. But everybody felt like the punishment for landing in jail should be more serious than that. So we turned the portable crib into a jail, and Aunt Veronica was the first one to land there. And that made Dazzle very sad.
Whimper, whimper.
The game was taking forever, and everybody was getting pretty tired. Aunt Audra said she wanted to forfeit so she could go to bed, and we could split up her money and properties. But everyone agreed that quitting was the same as going bankrupt. And I guess she really didn't want to have to sing on the boardwalk, so she made herself some coffee and powered through. The twins were struggling too, but they kept themselves in the game by taking turns napping. The only person who was wide awake was Manny, and that's because he was winning. Somehow, he had bought a whole row of properties without people noticing, and he was loading them up with hotels. After a while, Manny had so many hotels on his properties that if someone landed on one, it would be game over for them. So he started charging people money to let them pass through his territory safely, and his fee wasn't cheap. Eventually, everyone was almost out of money, and no one could afford what Manny was charging for safe passage anymore. So people started offering to go to jail just so they could sit out a few turns and not risk landing on one of Manny's properties. And before long, it was too crowded to fit anyone else in the crib. The person who wanted to sing on the boardwalk the least was Dad. So he tried to strike a deal with Manny. He promised he'd get him a bike for his birthday if he could pass through his properties safely the next round. but Manny was holding out for the cash up front. Dad didn't have any cash on him, so he had no choice but to roll the dice. And when he did, he landed on the property where Manny had the most hotels, which meant Dad was toast. Hooray! I guess we were being a little too loud, because Mom came out of her bedroom, and she didn't look happy about being woken up. With Dad out of the game, the rest of us started trying to figure out a good punishment for the second-place loser. We decided it would be pretty funny if the person who went bankrupt next had to dump a milkshake on their own head. We couldn't decide if the milkshake should be chocolate or strawberry, so we asked Mom to settle it for us. But she decided we'd had enough fun for one night and announced that our game was officially over. She lifted up one end of the table and let the board slide into the trash. Wednesday. Even though Mom didn't seem to enjoy herself on game night, the rest of us did. So this morning, we asked her what she had in store for us next. But I guess Mom needed to take a break from making plans for the family, and she said everybody was on their own today. I was pretty excited to have a day to myself, but I wasn't sure what to do. There was no chance I was going to the beach, so I decided I'd explore the town on my own. But I was a little nervous about getting lost, since I didn't really know my way around. Mom told me she was going to stay back at the house, and that I could take her phone as long as I was careful with it. I knew it was a big deal for Mom to trust me with her phone, so I promised I wouldn't let anything happen to it. It was a really hot and sticky day, and walking outside was like stepping into a sauna. So by the time I got to the boardwalk, my clothes were already soaked with sweat. It was too hot to stay outdoors, and honestly, I was looking for a way to avoid Dad anyway. He was on the boardwalk singing, "On top of spaghetti, all covered with cheese." And it was going to take him a long time to make that $20. I went into a few stores that had air conditioning, but it was pretty obvious that the employees who work at those places don't like it when people come inside just to cool down. And even though I pretended to be shopping, they weren't buying it. Maybe looking at women's bathing suits wasn't a great cover. Does this top have a matching bottom? I tried to find someplace cool where I didn't need to spend any money, and I knew I'd found my spot when I stumbled across a library in the center of town. I was a little nervous the people who worked there might ask me to leave, so when I sat in on an author's book talk for Menopow, Re-Energizing After 55, I made sure everyone knew I was paying attention by raising my hand and shouting, "Question!" I wish I had remembered to put Mom's phone on silent mode, though, because it started dinging nonstop while the author was speaking. So I had to duck out into the hallway to see why I was getting so many alerts. Ding, ding, ding. I was a little worried there was some kind of emergency and people were trying to reach me. But it was just my aunts sending texts on the family group chat. "Aunt Audra, could someone get me an iced coffee if you're out and about?" "Aunt Gretchen, you never paid me back for the one I got you last time." "Aunt Audra, that was 2 years ago, Gretchen." I always wondered what kinds of things the grown-ups in my family talk about on that thread, but when I started scrolling through the old messages, I could see it was a bunch of nonsense. "Aunt Gretchen, does anyone know how to get a French fry out of the space next to your car seat?" "Mom, wait, you were eating fast food in your car?"
"Aunt Gretchen,
yes, Susan, please don't judge me."
"Mom,
I thought your doctor said you needed to start eating healthier."
"Aunt Gretchen,
I don't think a few French fries are going to kill me."
"Mom,
maybe you should leave the one you dropped." Shrug emoji.
Every so often, someone would post something serious, like a medical question, and I really wish I hadn't gone looking through those old texts, because I saw some stuff on there I'd sure like to scrub from my brain. "Aunt Cakey,
does the mole on the back of my neck look like it's changing?"
Then she included a picture of the mole.
"Mom,
I would have that checked out if I were you. But mostly the family group chat was just corny jokes and other stuff grown-ups must find funny. I feel bad for Vincent because he's always asking to be added to the group chat, but he's not allowed since he's not a member of the family. Now that I've actually seen the stuff people are posting, like a picture of a cat with the caption, "Monday hair don't care," I can promise him he's not missing out on anything. Besides, once you get on the family group chat, you can never get off. Noah and Aunt Veronica broke up a couple of years ago, but he's still a part of the family thread. And I'm pretty sure the only reason he's still on it is because nobody can figure out how to remove him. So Noah's still getting updates on all the family news, even though it's clear that he wishes he wasn't. Aunt Veronica: I met someone new. Our first date is tonight. Mom: Congratulations, Veronica. Heart emoji, heart emoji, heart emoji. Noah: Please take me off this chat. Even the dog is on the family chat, and I can't tell if she writes her own texts or if someone does it for her. Aunt Gretchen: I split my shorts trying to bend over and tie my shoes. Queenie: Skull and crossbones emoji. I was thinking about how awesome it would be to become a social media star like Dazzle and have a whole team of people working for me. Then I realized I finally had a way to make that happen, because now I had a phone. I started dreaming up ways I could start posting stuff and get a ton of people to follow me. But these days, everybody's posting stuff online, and it's hard to stand out from the crowd. At first, I thought maybe I could just stream myself reviewing video games, but there are already a million people who do that kind of thing. I decided that if I wanted to make a splash, I was going to have to come up with something no one else was doing. But you've got to be creative if you're going to carve out your own space. I figured it would be smart to do product reviews so companies would send me free stuff. And I couldn't remember ever hearing about anyone who reviews pillows before. Exceptional huggability, ideal for side sleepers. Plus, if I became a pillow influencer, I could literally make money in my sleep by filming myself sleeping on different pillows. But I knew I wouldn't have my mom's phone for long, so I needed to come up with an idea where I could get a bunch of followers quick. And that's when it hit me. There are a million ice cream shops on the island, so I could be a guy who samples all the different flavors and posts reviews online. But there are lots of people who do that sort of thing, so I needed a gimmick to put me over the top. And then I finally landed on my idea. I knew it was a winner. One lick ice cream reviews. I realized that no one would want to watch a video of someone eating an entire ice cream cone, so I'd base my whole review on a single lick. Now that I had a plan, I just needed to get started. So I went into an ice cream shop that was two doors down from the library and told them I was going to need a few cones to review for my channel. But the guy working there didn't seem to understand that social media influencers get free stuff, because he said if I wanted any ice cream, I was going to have to pay for it. And even after I explained that his store was about to miss out on some free publicity, he wouldn't budge. So I walked out and went to another ice cream shop a block away. But they had the same response. And I was starting to wonder if these people understood anything about social media. I finally found a place that was willing to give me a free sample on a tiny spoon. And even though I knew that wasn't going to look as good on camera, I figured I had to start somewhere. So I filmed myself eating it and saying, "A perfect blend of salty and savory with oaky notes and a pleasant aftertaste that will stir up memories of long summer evenings sitting on the front porch with your best friend." I posted my review, then waited to see what kind of response it got from people online. But while I was waiting, I started worrying that maybe I wasn't thinking big enough with this one-lick ice cream reviews idea. I realized there are only so many flavors of ice cream out there, and eventually I was going to run out of types to review. So I decided if I wanted my channel to grow, I was going to have to branch out with the sort of things I licked, like, one-lick chicken wing reviews. But that was a problem for another day, because right now my follower count wasn't where it needed to be. One-lick ice cream reviews. 0 followers. What I wanted was for some celebrity to follow my account, because then all their fans would follow me. But I knew that was going to be tough, because I don't really have any connections like that. That's when I remembered that I do know someone who's famous, and even though it's a dog, it still counts. Dazzle has 3.8 million followers. I thought about asking Aunt Veronica if she could get Dazzle to point something about one-lick ice cream reviews on her channel, but then I remembered that social media influencers get paid to do that kind of thing, and I probably couldn't afford whatever she charges. That's when I realized I had something even better, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. I found a picture of the family on Mom's phone with me and Dazzle together, and I cropped it. Then I swapped it in as my new profile photo. I didn't get the chance to see if the picture made a difference, though, because I wasn't looking where I was walking, and I ended up wandering into somebody's front yard. And I guess the people who live on the island year-round don't like it when vacationers trespass on their property. The old guy sitting on the porch aimed his hose right at me and... whoosh! Getting blasted with a hose wasn't all bad, because after a day out in the heat, it was nice to finally cool off. But I learned a valuable lesson, which is that water and electronics don't mix. Thursday. When I handed Mom her phone last night, the first thing she did was put it in a bag of rice. She said rice absorbs water, and it was the only hope of getting the phone working again. Even though I thought that sounded like a weird thing to do, I was glad she wasn't too mad I got her phone wet. I think the reason Mom was willing to let it slide today was because she was so busy trying to get everybody ready for the family photo. There was supposed to be a pretty sunset, and she wanted to make sure everyone was showered and looking nice for when we went down to the beach after dinner. The problem was that nobody remembered to pack a full set of white clothes, which Grandma asked everyone to wear for the family beach photo. But the stores were closing soon, and there wasn't enough time to go shopping and make dinner. So Aunt Gretchen came up with an idea. She said the adults could go clothes shopping while the kids made dinner. That sounded like a terrible idea to me, but for some reason, all the grown-ups seemed to think we can handle it. Once the adults were out the door, us kids were on our own. The first thing we did was open the fridge to see what we had to work with. I figured we could just reheat some spaghetti and call it a day, but Uncle Gary had eaten all the leftovers, so we decided to make something new with the stuff that was in the fridge. The only problem was that there aren't a lot of meals you can make out of mayonnaise, salad dressing, and maple syrup. That didn't seem to be a problem for the twins, though, because they were already off and running. They found some more food in the pantry and started mixing all the ingredients in a ceramic bowl. And if I hadn't kept an eye on them, when they poured the rice in, Mom's phone would have ended up as part of their recipe. I don't think Roderick liked the look of what the twins were cooking up, because he found a frozen pizza in the freezer and put it in the oven. Manny was doing his own thing, too. I guess he was in the mood for breakfast, because he started cooking up some pancakes, eggs, and bacon. But he was making a giant mess by cooking everything directly on the electric stovetop. Speaking of messes, Malcolm and Malvin had gotten their hands on the electric mixer, which they totally lost control of. In all the chaos, Roderick accidentally turned the knob on the oven to self-clean instead of bake, so now the oven was heating up to 900 degrees. It turns out that once the self-cleaning cycle starts, you can't stop it. So Roderick's frozen pizza was getting incinerated inside the oven, and there was nothing we could do about it. But now smoke was pouring out, and we were coughing and sputtering. Roderick was worried we were going to set off the smoke alarm, so he climbed up on a counter and fanned the fumes away from the detector. Roderick was standing on the counter trying to fan smoke away from the alarm, and the twins were covered in the food from the mixer, and even though we managed to keep this from turning into something worse, I have a feeling that the grown-ups will think twice before putting kids in charge of the kitchen ever again. One good thing that came out of the disaster, though. Since we used up all our food, Mom said our only choice was to go out to eat. And I'd been waiting to hear those words since we got here. Of course, nothing's ever easy in my family, and people immediately started arguing over where we should go to dinner. Aunt Keiki was hoping to go to a seafood restaurant, but when Mom told everyone how a school of fish gobbled up people's throw-up on our ferry ride over, everybody suddenly lost their appetite for seafood.
Blah.
Roderick wanted to go to a restaurant called Jerks, where the waiters are mean to the customers, but nobody seemed wild about that idea either. Aunt Veronica pushed for going to a pet-friendly place where Dazzle could eat, but my family accidentally went to a place like that once, and it was no fun dealing with all the begging, since there would probably be lots of other dogs dining there too. It turns out we were wasting our time debating where to go, because every restaurant was totally booked except one, and that was a chain restaurant called Palazzo Pomodoro, whose commercials are always on TV. The commercials have an old lady standing in her kitchen saying, "Just like Mama used to make. Palazzo Pomodoro." I was excited to try it out, and so were the other guys in the family. But Mom and her sisters were against it, because apparently Grandma hates Palazzo Pomodoro. Mom said that whenever a commercial for that restaurant comes on TV, Grandma complains that they use cheap ingredients and they don't know anything about authentic home-cooked food. Grandma even made Mom and her sisters promise never to eat there. But the rest of us were starving, and we didn't really have any other options for eating. So Mom and her sisters agreed we could go to Palazzo Pomodoro as long as we all promised never to tell Grandma. The plan was to take our family picture right after dinner, so everyone got dressed in our new white clothes. And I have to say, it was a little embarrassing walking down the boardwalk looking like some boy band. Even though Mom made a reservation on the phone ahead of time, the hostess said she couldn't find our names in the system. Then she told us we could wait for a table to open up, but that could take an hour or more. So we sat in the lobby and tried to figure out what we should do. Mom was stressed because time was ticking away, and if we didn't eat soon, we wouldn't make it to the beach for sunset. But if we tried to eat after we took our picture, we'd never find a place that could take us. Then Mom overheard the hostess talking to the manager about a large party who was a half hour late for their reservation, and that gave Aunt Keiki an idea. The next thing I knew, Vincent was telling the hostess that he was in the group that hadn't shown up. But I got the sense he wasn't super comfortable doing it. It felt weird pretending to be a different family. But we couldn't let the reservation go to waste, so we all tried our best to get over it and just enjoy the experience. After we had a few minutes to look over the menu, we placed our orders. Even though a restaurant like this is known for its pasta, I decided to go with a steak. And the only person to order spaghetti was Vincent, who was excited to finally have his very own meatballs. The waiter came around with breadsticks, but this time I wasn't going to fill up before my main course arrived. But somebody should have warned Dazzle about that, because she was making a rookie mistake by going to town on those breadsticks. Everybody was in a good mood, and for the first time I can remember, conversation was flowing. And I think maybe Aunt Keiki was having the most fun out of anyone. She told Mom she was ready to forgive her for stealing her boyfriend all those years ago, and even though Mom seemed happy Aunt Keiki had turned a corner, I could tell she wasn't thrilled her sister was bringing up the topic again. Then Uncle Gary said something I'll never forget as long as I live.
"Did your dad ever tell you he dated your Aunt Keiki?"
All this time, I never put it together that Aunt Keiki's ex-boyfriend was Dad. And the only person who took it harder than me was Roderick, who had just taken a swig of iced tea, which he accidentally spit out. Uncle Gary wasn't finished, though. He told everyone the story of how Aunt Cakey met Dad when he was a lifeguard at Ruddy Neck Island, and how they fell for each other. But when Aunt Cakey introduced Dad to the rest of her family, Mom liked him too. I guess Dad liked Mom better than Aunt Cakey, so then things got complicated. The two sisters fought over Dad, and Grandma had to step in and break it up. Grandma could see that Mom and Dad were crazy about each other, so she decided they should be a couple. But to make things fair, Grandma told Mom she had to give Aunt Cakey her favorite sunglasses and a stuffed animal she'd won on the boardwalk. And if you ever think it would be cool if your family is hiding some big, juicy secret, all I can say is be careful what you wish for. After Uncle Gary delivered his bombshell, nobody was really in the mood for conversation, so when our meal arrived, we ate in silence. The only grown-up who didn't seem to know that Dad and Aunt Cakey had been a couple was Vincent, who seemed to have suddenly lost his appetite. Aunt Veronica helped herself to one of Vincent's meatballs, and when she took a bite, you could tell something wasn't right. Aunt Veronica passed Vincent's plate down the line, and before long, everyone had a meatball in their mouth, and we were all thinking the same exact thing. These were Grandma's meatballs! Chomp, smack, glorp? That meant Palazzo Pomodoro had somehow gotten its hands on Grandma's secret recipe. Mom and her sister started accusing one another of selling the recipe to the restaurant, but everyone denied they were the one who did it. All at once, they stormed the kitchen, and the rest of us followed them just to see what was going to happen next. Then, they confronted the chef and demanded to know where he kept the meatball recipe, but he played dumb. That got the attention of the manager, who threatened to call the cops if our family didn't leave. In all the craziness, Dazzle saw her reflection in a stainless steel refrigerator, and that's how she found out she wasn't a person after all. The manager chased us out of the kitchen, and we went back to the dining room. But the family whose dinner reservation we stole had finally arrived, and they were helping themselves to our food.
Gobble, smack, chew.
It was the same family from the lighthouse, and it only took a second for things to totally boil over. Basically, we had a giant food fight.
Chomp, splat, dump.
Then the manager did call the cops, and they came to the restaurant to calm things down. And it probably wasn't our best moment as a family. The police took a report and interviewed everyone who was there, but Vincent denied knowing any of us, so they let him go. And at that point, you couldn't blame the guy for cutting bait. The night wasn't over, though. After the police finished interviewing the other family, they let them go on their way. But when Mom gave the police her name for their report, they told us we were all going to have to join them down at the station, which freaked everybody out. I had no idea why we were in more trouble than that other family, since they were just as much to blame for what happened as we were. But when we got to the station, I knew exactly what this was all about. As soon as I saw the cooler, I thought the police were going to give us a hefty fine for trespassing in the piping plover habitat. But it turns out they were more concerned about the note I wrote on the lid about the human organs. So they stood back and made me open it to prove there was nothing too weird inside. The cops seemed relieved that the only thing in the cooler were a few tuna sandwiches, and even though they were welcome to them, I'm just hoping no one gets sick. Speaking of feeling sick, Mom was really upset that we didn't get our family photo before sunset, but now it was too dark outside to get a decent picture, and it was supposed to rain the next evening. I guess the police felt sorry for Mom, because they offered to help us out. And even though it wasn't technically the photo Grandma asked for, it was the best we could do. We all stood on the perp walk, and the cops took our picture. The bottom of the photo said, Ruddy Neck Island Police Department. Friday. Last night, when we got back to the beach house, all of Vincent's stuff was gone. Aunt Cakey was a little torn up about him leaving, but at least she had her sisters there to offer support. I was looking forward to getting some sleep, but early this morning I woke up to the sound of activity on our front porch, so I cracked the blinds to see what was going on. I didn't know who all these people were, or if there was a parade planned in our street that day or what, and I wished I could look it up. And that's when I remembered Mom's phone, which was still in the kitchen. Believe it or not, Mom's trick actually worked, and the phone turned on. When I saw the comments on my channel, I knew exactly what those people were doing on our front porch. One Lick Ice Cream Reviews has updated its profile photo.
Wait, I know that lighthouse.
Ruddy Neck Point?
Yep.
Is Dazzle there? Booking my ferry ticket now! I have no idea how Dazzle's fans tracked her down to our house, but the only thing I knew for sure was that we couldn't stay there. And once everyone else was awake and up to speed on the situation outside, they felt the same way. So we packed up our stuff and slipped out the back window. And by then, nobody seemed to mind that we were cutting our vacation short. Luckily, we were able to make it down to the pier without anyone spotting the dog, who we had disguised as best we could and slipped into a baby stroller. And on the way there, we passed a lot of people sporting Dazzle merch who probably would have loved to get a selfie. The next ferry wasn't for 2 more hours, so we had to hire a boat to take us back to the mainland. And even though I wasn't crazy about the type of boat we got, I knew there was no point in making a stink about the fact that it was a pirate-themed cruise. Everyone was relieved when we got to shore, but that's when we found out Dazzle had somehow given us the slip back on the island. I guess Dazzle decided she'd had enough of our family, and I could totally relate, because I was looking forward to taking a break from these people myself. Aunt Veronica called the police station at Ruddy Neck Island and told them about her missing dog, and they said they'd get the word out. And while we were waiting to hear back, Mom had an idea. Today was Grandma's 75th birthday, and Mom thought it would be fun to surprise her at the assisted living center. Everybody thought that was a good idea, so we formed a caravan of cars and drove to Grandma's new place. But the security at Grandma's complex is pretty tight, and the guy at the gate wouldn't let us in until he contacted Grandma and got her permission for us to be on the property. He called her apartment, but she didn't pick up, so he told us we'd have to come back another day. At that point, nothing was stopping my mom and her sisters from seeing Grandma on her 75th birthday, so they decided we'd sneak onto the property by going around back. And even though everybody understood that climbing over the fence was trespassing, it didn't come close to the worst thing we'd done on this vacation. We snuck inside Grandma's building through a rear entrance and took the stairs up to her apartment. But when we knocked on her door, there was no answer. By now, everyone was getting pretty concerned, and Mom decided we were going to have to go back to the gate and tell the security guard that we needed him to let us inside Grandma's apartment to check on her. Everybody knew that would probably get us in trouble, but we all agreed it would be worth it to know Grandma was okay. So we took the elevator down to the first floor and headed for the front door. But on the way there, we noticed loud music coming from the rec center, which was packed. I figured somebody must be having a party in there, and when we poked our heads in the door, I found out I was right. It was bad enough that Grandma had her birthday party without us. But what made it sting a little extra was seeing all these strangers helping themselves to her famous meatballs. It took a while for the party to wind down, and once the room finally cleared out, Mom and her sisters got some time alone with the birthday girl. Grandma started off by apologizing for not inviting everyone to her 75th birthday party. She said she felt bad about sending us all away, but this year she just didn't want to deal with any family drama. and after spending almost a week with everyone, I can confirm that Grandma made the right call. I think it's crazy that she sent us all off on a vacation nobody wanted to go on to buy herself a little personal space. But that goes to show how much power you have when you're the head of a family. Speaking of power, Grandma told everyone we needed to help clean up the rec center, and it sure would have been nice to have Vincent around right about then to help with all the dirty dishes and trash. I felt bad about what happened with him, but it turns out he's doing just fine. In fact, he sent everyone a text message on the family group chat, which the dog must have invited him to join. It showed a picture of him and Dazzle sitting in a cabana by the beach enjoying cocktails. The text said, "To Family Chat, from Vincent and Dazzle. Living our best lives as person and pet." After everything that's happened over the past few days, I didn't think anything could shock me anymore. But there was still one big surprise left. Grandma asked me to take the trash out to the dumpster, but the bag was a lot heavier than I thought, and it burst open. Ugh! When I started picking up the trash that spilled, the label on a plastic bag caught my eye. Palazzo Pomodoro. Frozen meatballs. And just like that, everything was suddenly clear. Palazzo Pomodoro didn't steal Grandma's meatball recipe after all. This whole time, she's been buying her meatballs from them. That explained why Grandma made her daughters promise never to eat there. She knew that if the family found out her secret, her power would go up in smoke. So when Grandma saw me standing there holding the empty bag, she froze. And for a second, neither one of us knew what to say. I thought about telling everyone in the family that Grandma's meatballs were store-bought and we could just order them whenever we wanted. But then I had another thought. If I kept Grandma's secret to myself, maybe I could be the next head of the family. And then I'd be the guy calling the shots about where everyone goes on vacation and who gets to marry who. Everyone would be kissing my ring like I was a crime boss. So I promised Grandma her secret was safe with me, which puts me in a position to take over the family when the time comes. And even though I feel bad about cutting the line, when it comes to power, sometimes things can get a little messy. The End. This is Ramon D'Ocampo. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Hot Mess by Jeff Kinney. Recorded books are available wherever audiobooks are sold. Thank you for listening to Recorded Books.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.